Hello and welcome to another edition of Open All Eyes, the QPR podcast, which this week has George Sharp back. You alright, George?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. Thanks for having me on, as usual.
And you're in a caravan by a lake.
Yeah, very nice caravan by a lake, actually. Thought, have a nice night away, so why not?
Exactly. Did you tell your parents or did you bring them with you?
No, they're out there now with my cousins, actually. So, if the dogs start barking, I apologise.
Normally my dog that ruins a podcast, mate, don't be worried about that. But he's been running the woods. For us that have dogs, by the way, Steve, have you got a dog?
No, I don't, no.
This weather's mental. You just get covered in mud. There is no way you can take the dog for a run at the moment. It's just mental. And then I fell on my arse the other day in the mud. And I looked like I shot myself. It was bloody awful. Anyway, and we have Steve Bernard back, otherwise known as QPR Analytics. How are you?
Very good, Paul. Yeah, all good. And pleased to be talking more optimistically about QPR these days. Last time I was on, we were in the depths of January and we were still trying to find some smidgens of optimism. But I think the party's ready to get started, isn't it? So, famous last words.
Someone's been on the wacky, right? And we have... Well, no, you're right. Because put to that podcast you came on, I think a draw against Middlesbrough in a cold went Tuesday with no flipping shots would have been an improvement, I tell you. And we've got Alan Bohr.
That's what I got right. Got it right, Walter.
Well, you know, I pride my name, as you know, listen to the podcast, I get everyone's name wrong. It's my little, along with Finney Bingo, dyslexia, Northern Ireland, and all that malarkey, I pride myself on getting everyone's name. It's actually terrible. It's since COVID. I tell you, anyway, it's another story. Now, as we've got a debutant this week, I'm going to let him start off because you live in Wales, you run the Welsh QPR Supporters Club, is that right? Or not run it, but you're maybe chief drinking person, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I seem to be the one who people come to and I put in touch with all the others. So, you know, ever since I was coming along, on my own for many years, and now I met one lad and then another lad, and we all sort of come together. I seem to be the main meeting point, as it were. So, yeah, chief drinker and chief organiser of drinking.
So the two games that you look forward to every year, you're looking for, is obviously Swansea and Cardiff or the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, they're always the nice, easy ones to get to. So it's just like, right, we don't have to worry about the bridge. We don't have to worry about the trains being cancelled. Oh, yes, we do. It's not too far to go. If the trains are cancelled, we can sort something out. So, yeah, but Cardiff and Swansea are always the local ones. And I guess Bristol City as well, because that adds a little bit of spice to it as well.
Yeah, they don't like us either. No one really likes us anymore. Oh, well. Well, what was your thoughts on Monday? Obviously not Saturday, Monday.
Monday was a marvellous victory. It was a great victory. It was, following on from Friday as well, going down there, I'd have taken a point beforehand to get all three. It was wonderful. And it was a deserved 3 points as well. That's what I like to see. It's, we had chances to win it. We carried on taking it. And then it was a really nice taken goal. You know, it was a set piece that we scored from. It was a training ground move. It's unheard of. But it's really, really nice to see. And yeah, it was a good day out. Yeah, the trains were messed up. We managed to get there still. Had plenty of drinking time. Game itself was great. Stewards not so great.
We'll look one at a second because I've got a big whinge about the stewards actually, but we're gonna go into that. And Alan's got, I put the W in. It's got a bigger whinge, and quite rightly. So, George, I saw you on Monday. But do you want to talk about Monday, or do you want to talk about Friday, or do you want to talk about both combined?
I can talk about both combined if you want. I don't mind.
Go on then.
Right, I'll talk about both combined then. So Friday against Birmingham, I think in the first half, it was quite cagey. I thought like. I heard Mick Beale on Sky Sports saying it was quite open, but that was after 5 minutes. How on earth was he reporting on us, by the way? Yeah, literally, a typical first half. And I think second half, them scoring, I don't know. You can't really take away from the finish. It was a good finish. You didn't have much of the goal to aim at, however. I think as a keeper, yes, it's gone in the sliver of goal which it could only go in. And then I think the crucial thing for the game which turned it to us is Steve Cook scoring minutes after they scored. That how many times has that happened to us in the past where we score, we go excited, and then they've gone down the other end and nicked an equaliser? We've done that. Good strike from Steve Cook, good hold up play, I think it was from Sam Field as well with his chest, and Cook fired into the back of the net. And then obviously, wow, who could have prepared yourself for the Jimmy Dunn? Wow, honestly, like Kaká, Esque, anyone, any of these Brazilian attackers, class. What a finish. I couldn't believe it. Like I the
You're too
perfect
young,
angle.
George, but it was very much like Zico or Mark van Basten finish for my like for, I'm an oldie, I can tell you that. Carry on.
Yeah. Way too young, but no, I could see from I could see the perfect angle from beyond the goal, and it felt like a big moment in our season, and of course it was. And Jimmy Dunn, I don't think there was anyone else who deserved it more, to be honest with you, with the way he's been playing recently, been completely reborn as a right back. And I think moving on to Swansea, it was one of them games similar to Bristol City where we didn't go at them. We didn't go into the game thinking we were going to press or anything. We only have 32% possession in the whole game, but it was a typical Wade performance. And I went into it saying, oh, I'll take a nil-nil here, I'll take a point, because you would, especially after the back of Birmingham. But I'll give credit to my dad for once. He was saying, oh, he's so confident about the 3 points today. He was. And that Steve Cook strike, brilliant again. And as Alan said, great ball in by Lucas Anderson. Much better than Kenneth Powell's corners at the start of the season, where one in five would go above the front post. Good header from Jimmy Dunn again, and a striker's finish from Steve Cook. Brilliant. Brilliant finish. And I think the fans deserved it. The fan brilliant again at Swansea, as you said about the stewarding, not too great. But I think it was a great day out in the end. I had a great meal before, but that's a purely selfish perspective. Good away performance. You're always going to take a 1-0. And we said, if you always say in the championship, if you can shore up your defence, you can win games of football. And we haven't conceded many goals, especially away from home. I think it's one goal conceded in the last four games against some proper top tier sides. So you look at that and you think, what a job. And that back four is looking so solid. And I think a great couple of performances. And that's my roundup of the two games.
Before I go to Steve, Alan, what did you think of Jimmy Dunn's mishit shot? Did you think it was a bit special?
It was a wonderful goal. It was just, there you are in South Africa, and thinking, all right, your right back's gone up. What are you going to get from that? But it was just, I'm still staggered by it now, to be honest. And it's one of those goals that you don't see very often. We've all seen great goals. All right, you're not going to put it along as, with a Weggley or a Sinclair, but it was one of those great goals. It was like, bang, have that. It really was a special goal.
But you don't expect a centre half turned right back to show such composure, such grace, and such finesse, and then nearly break the frickin' net, do you? I mean, that's I had a great view of it. I mean, one of the best goals I've seen. Yes, Hugo, it was a marvellous goal. It's one of the best goals I've seen at Rangers. Steve, save me from me dog.
Yeah, I think what links both of those games against Birmingham and Swansea is resilience. George just spoke about it, the instant reply from Cook. I think I couldn't have been the only one in the ground against Birmingham when they scored, thinking, after all of this progress that we've made, we're going to find ourselves, right back in it. I couldn't have been the only one thinking that. And in a couple of minutes, that was off your mind. It was right, got the equaliser, let's go and win the game. And it's the I think it's only the second time that we've actually come from conceding the or come back to win from conceding the first goal, and the other one was
Was
Rotherham.
it?
Yeah, I
Oh.
think it is. We're really bad at responding to going behind, or we have been. The only other time was Rotherham, and you could probably point to, well, it's Rotherham. But to do it against Birmingham, against a team that are down there with us in the scrap, is hugely significant. And the goal, yeah, I mean, you guys have said it, the goal's incredible. It's one of the best. It's up there as one of the best moments at Loftus Road. Has to be. Not least because it's a great goal, but it's a player who has sort of been on a bit of a redemption journey, as has the whole club really in the last few months. It's significant because of who it's against. It's the last minute. Just an amazing moment. And against Swansea, you know, I wasn't at Swansea, so I won't talk about it too much. But you know, just looking at some of the numbers afterwards, you know, 50 clearances. It's like, I mean, that's a huge number of clearances in a game of football in the Championship, and it just shows you the kind of level of pressure that we were under in that match. And again, it speaks to resilience. Defensively, really, really strong. The goalkeeper having a really, really strong game, which was much needed. Just being in games tactically and mentally, we've been on a really positive journey over the last few months. Certainly, defensively, out of possession, and you know, it might be simplistic to say, but it's true. It's if you're really tight at the back, and since the Fuentes has come in, if you look at the underlying data, only Leeds have got a better defence than us since mid-November. I mean, that's incredible in itself, just saying that. And yeah, we know we've got issues at the other end of the pitch. Clearly, that's been a problem all season. But if you're hanging in games and you're defensively strong out of possession, you don't need a lot to go right at the other end of the pitch to get a result. So, and that's really the story of those two games. I thought we managed them really, really well. And it's just really pleasing. We're in such a better place than we were 6 months ago. Yeah, it's a massive testament to the manager and the coaches and the players.
Do you know what I was thinking? I don't know what you guys think, but it was funny because at the Burnham game when Roberts, who was on with welcome back, showed why we didn't rate him by hitting that 6 months ago that had gone in. Do you know what I mean? That sort of thing goes in, but more the Swansea one where you're just like, ah, shite. You know, it comes off the crossbar, it hits the inside post, it bounces off someone's shins, it goes in, and that's the difference. And I just think with what the manager's done, I've got an apology to make on the pod, really, because I always got along with the whole thing of thinking, oh, the players are weak, they're not showing enough, they don't care enough, they take it all back. You know, it obviously was purely down to coaching, it was purely down to confidence, because they have shoved downwards, thank God, down my throat, and I can keep stamping on my throat. I don't care, because I'd have this any day, and I apologise to them for that because I got it wrong, and I much prefer this QPR side. They just seem to... It's the QPR we know and love, isn't it? Of just never give in and just keep doing things. And yeah, right, we can moan about strikers, but when you have like Steve Cook and Jimmy Dunn thinking there's Zico and Socrates, who cares? You know, it's one of them things, isn't it? You're going to say something else? Sorry, Alan.
I just said it's been interesting that so many changes that the Fuentes have been making, but he hasn't changed the back four. He's got that back four sorted and he's kept to it. Once he decided on it, this is where we're going. These are my defenders. That's my goalkeeper. You can change the rest of the team, but that defence isn't changing. But then on Monday, he did bring Fox in for whatever reason, and Fox just slid in there. He looked as if he'd been playing all season in that position. So that was really interesting to see. Yeah. Got his settled back line, bring Fox in, and Fox slotted in, not an issue whatsoever.
It's really weird, though, isn't it, George? Because, you know, the fact that Clark Salter's now coming in game after game, no one talks about his injury record anymore. It's mad, isn't it? And now people are talking about him going on to Premiership clubs. Mad.
Well, yeah, I've always said that the one thing that Mick Beale got right was that on his day, he's the best, or that certainly in the top three left-footed centre-backs in the division. And I generally thought that. And you have to give credit to the medical team, especially recently. Like, who's been out injured? Ryan Colley, he's been out, yes. But apart from that, Jake Clark-Salter, reoccurring injuries, he's been so consistent and consistently the best player in our side, I think. Him and Steve Cook have been absolutely incredible at the back. And I think your point about the players, I think you certainly weren't the only one. I think we were all losing faith in the players because at one point we're all there for Watford away at the start of the season. Dire, honestly. And I'm not going to come out and say it was all on the players because I think everyone who's listened knows my opinion on Gareth Ainsworth football. I'm not going to go into that again. But I think one thing I saw on Monday and Friday as well, the players are actually backing each other up now as well. They seem like a group again. And there's that togetherness where that's what Ainsworth tried forming, the togetherness, the run through brick walls for you. But with the squad that we have, I'm sorry, that was never going to happen. And I think Marty's got the right balance between getting your players like Anderson, Chair and Willock on the ball in good positions. Obviously, we're not scoring as many goals as we'd want. But at the back, we just look so assured, and something that is a complete contrast to when Ainsworth was in at the start of the season.
Yeah, and the other thing, just quickly, the other thing to mention is it's a massive testament to the... I can't remember his name, the chap who was brought in the summer.
And Williams.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. I mean, the fact that we've got Cook and Clark also playing this consistently and regularly, it's a great testament to what they've been doing, clearly, at the training ground. And the sports science angle. I think the fact that we haven't really suffered significant injuries in this sort of last third of the season to this point.
Good.
Yeah, that's really significant, actually, especially with those two players. You would not, a few months ago, you'd have been shocked if you'd have known that they were going to play that many games together. But yeah, here they are. And it makes
sense. But that just shows you the difference between people who want to play for a manager, who believe in the system, who believe in the coaching staff, who believe in everything. Whether the manager's right or wrong, it's just how football is. It's so simple. Its complexity isn't really that complicated as people make out. They obviously enjoy playing. They're playing with a smile on their face. The you can see from Cookie's goal that everyone was together. You know, the subs, everyone. And we haven't seen that for a long time. Well, we have recently, but you know what I mean. Even in the Birmingham game, you know, we came back. And we could have folded easily in that game. You know, so I don't know what to say. I'm getting a little bit optimistic. And that's always the most dangerous time to be a QPR fan, isn't it? I mean, you know, you kind of think, oh, we can do this. The only thing I was a bit annoyed about at Swansea as well as the stewards was that, you know, I took it quite personally that we're going to Germany, you're not. I mean, I know, lads, you know, we finished bottom of our group. We didn't have any chance of even getting anywhere near Germany. Don't remind me. Don't know what that was about. Something strange. Anyways, Alwyn, we have to talk about the stewards and we have to talk about your mate Mark. What the but Jesus was going on there, mate? Seriously, I've never seen anything like it.
I've known Mark 20 years or so since he moved out to Cardiff. You know, he's a rice lip boy. He follows Rangers home and away. Obviously not as often now since he's been down here and family and kids, etc, etc. Mark's a good, sensible lad. We'd had a few to drink on Monday. There's no doubt about that. Good game, and we're all sitting in the upper tier. Mark's got a ticket for the lower tier, as have a couple of lads of lower tier tickets. But we're all sat upstairs in the upper tier for the first half. We're all enjoying ourselves, not a problem whatsoever. Mark goes down to the toilets half time, and they won't let him back in to join us. No, your seat's down there. Well, obviously his seat's down there, but somebody else is sitting in it. So he's pissed off that he's got to end up in the front row. Not with his lad, not with his mates, who he's been having a good time with all day. And Mark's a big lad. We score. He's in the front row. He steps over the first barrier. So he's gone into that area between the first barrier and the advertising hoardings. Now, no player went there during the whole 90 minutes, during the warm-up, during the celebrations of the goal, during the post-match celebrations. No player... No match official went into that area whatsoever. Mark did go into that area. The stewards come along and they take him out. Okay, we were at the upper tier. We found it quite funny that one of our mates was getting kicked out. Oh, off you go, Mark. That'll teach you. Except it just didn't kick him out. They nicked him. So we've spoken to the coppers at the end of the game that, yeah, he's being charged, Swansea Central Police Station. That meant we had to spend a few more hours in Swansea having a couple more drinks. Hardship for us. But for Mark, it was serious because now he's been charged with entering the playing area is the charge. Now, there's no way on earth that the area that he was in is the playing area. No. You know, I used to be a football referee. I know what the playing area is. I know what a field of play is. And that's not the field of play. He didn't go over the advertising hoardings. He made no attempt to go over the advertising hoardings. He didn't even try to celebrate with the players and jump up with them. He was just pleased. Mm-hmm. We were winning. He jumped, say, he got over the first barrier. For a guy like Mark, that's just a case of lifting a leg slightly. You know, he's a big boy. So that's where it is with him. Why they decided to be so draconian, who knows? Swansea's last home game was against Cardiff. So whether stuff went on there and the stewards had been told to, right, we need to clamp down on stuff, I don't know. Whether somebody sensible is going to actually have a look at this at some stage and say, oh, come on, guys, he wasn't doing anything stupid. He ruined his day. Let's take it like that. Or whether they actually are going to, do him for it properly and give him a nice 3-year ban from watching football, which is what he's looking at, and a criminal record for doing what? The thing is, he didn't go onto the pitch. He made no attempt to go onto the pitch. But the actual offence is entering the playing area. And if there are signs at Swansea saying, do not cross this barrier, he did it. We all know he did it. We've all seen the video evidence of him doing it. But it's not a... To me, it's not an offence that deserves a ban.
No, I mean, it's a wee bit like the young lad that came on the pitch at Birmingham, against Birmingham, and Steve Cook was saying, put him over in the loft, he's making no hassle. And Mr. Jobsworth A and Mr. Jobsworth B decided to take him around Farley and arrest him. He's a kid, Listen, no one wants to see football going back to the old days. We've all been there. We're all old enough to remember it. No one wants that, but you can have a wee bit of common sense. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I seen the incident, and what I was annoyed about is that there's a lad from Barnet. Stan's been on the podcast a couple of times, and his dad came down and said, Paul, it's carnage up there. They're chucking kids out, young kids, and not making sure they're all right, not making sure they're safe, just chucking them out. I mean, there's one case where someone had the St. George, and he's waving at the Welsh lads, obviously. That happens every week at Swansea. They're used to it. The Met guy stepped in and said, you've been a bit over the top, calm down, don't worry about it. And then, of course, we score. I saw Mark get manhandled, which is, I think, the better way of saying it. Well, he offered no resistance. And I will surprise people who go to football with me here. I am a massive knob sometimes at football. I hate losing. I hate it when we shit. And I have never been phoned about a police fan sometimes. I'll never know. But I would have to hold my hands up and say, do you know what? And people do. Football fans will. They'll hold their hands up and say, do you know what? I did that. But to give him a criminal record, to give him a ban, possibly a fine, is wrong. But hopefully the Football Fans Federation, and if he gets decent lawyers. But what an expense for just someone trying to ruin your day. It's a nonsense. So if anyone from the club is listening to this, which I know you are, because you do, don't let this happen. I mean, that's one good thing. God rest his soul. John used to be good for you. You could send John a wee text message and say, look, this happened and it shouldn't have happened. And John will look into it. He'll look at the CCTV. He'll do everything through the right way and he'll do the right thing. And sometimes he may have come back and said, look, there's nothing I can do. The geezer's out of order. It's fine. You accept that. But I don't think Mark deserves it. And I've spoke to Mark for the first time and I actually thought he was Welsh. I was surprised. Big company voice came booming down. All right, Paul. Yeah, this is what happened. And he's not an idiot. And I just hope that Swansea. But they were looking. I mean, to me, they were quite. I don't know what you thought, George, as well. But they were quite antagonistic. They were trying to pick pockets of fans to wind up. I mean, they just the lads at the back. They're kids. Kids are annoying. I've got one. She's annoying. It's the way they are. But I don't think they deserve to be chucked out, did they, George? It was a wee bit over the top.
No, I do agree. It's a bit over. You get that every week at football. Like you see it now. You have all these youths who think they're like all that, but that's just football now. Like every away day, you're gonna have the group. You get it at Basingstoke Town for Christ's sake. We were in the third tier of non-league football. Like you get it there. Like I just don't see why the stewards seem to pick on the group. And I didn't see the incident myself. Obviously, I've just heard about it then. But the only thing I saw was the stewards getting a bit aggy after the game as well as we were leaving at the Swansea fans, in fact, actually. Swansea fans were trying to walk and they were just stopping it. And I get it, like violence after a football game, you don't want it. But that's the only experience I got. The only other complaint from that day is the awful coffee there, by the way. May I just say, coffee bags they have. It's disgusting. I just thought that's the only other complaint I have about that day in the stadium. But stewarding, it was poor. It was poor to say the least.
Well, if anyone can help Mark, by the way, who's got good knowledge of these things, please let me know, and I'll put you in touch with Mark as well. Because, yeah, I mean, we've had it. The worst thing is, Alan, we've had a shit season. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We've all been there. We've watched home and away. And if I'd have been him, I'd have done what the pub does. I'd have kissed a fleck of grass or the artificial way it was, because that goal has possibly sealed our woes and stopped us hopefully going down. Yeah, just stop being. I'm not going to swear, but yeah, someone at Swansea just needs to look at that and stop being an absolute numpty. And just I don't know. It's just wrong. And I don't want. I mean, I grew up. I was telling you this. I grew up watching Glentor Linfield. I mean, that was bottles and petrol bombs and bricks, and that no one wants to go back to that. That's horrendous, and QPR and Chelsea and all that malarkey. But yeah, let's hope common sense prevails. So, Mark, we're with you. We're behind you. Hopefully, we'll sort this out. And then we can all meet up next season at Swansea and have a pint. Although, to be fair, I was more annoyed as well. This is a whinge, even to my friends. When you haven't been able to make it to the chip shop and get yourself a nice portion of chips, and you have to buy some rubbish from the vendors outside, and they've just told you, by the way, Paul, guess what? They've got a brilliant gluten-free menu as well in the fish shop. They had everything that was fish and chips that were gluten-free. I hate you, Cindy, but thank you for telling me. Ming and chips. That's the other thing. Why do football fans always get the worst catering? I mean, I don't know if it's the same at concerts, because I'm too old to go to concerts these days. I don't buy food at concerts. But Jesus Christ, even sausage and mash is better than the shite they give you at football. I mean, just, I don't know. Prison food's better. Not that I've been to prison, but.
We've always put up with it, Paul. It's 40 years of watching football. It's always been the same. The fans are the ones who were treated the worst. So it's not, that'll never change. It's just what we just put up with it.
I tell you what, though, did anyone else think there was a massive police presence for that Birmingham game, wasn't there? Wow.
Yeah, I
That.
think it's in the Nando's before us. Load of them just walking past.
Down the Uxbridge Road, they were there, and they were there early. I got down to Shepherd's Bush early on Good Friday, and they were around. There was a lot of them around very early.
It's just, I don't know why. I mean, they are the worst team I've seen, though. They're shocking.
Is that Birmingham?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think why Laird and Roberts didn't work out for us and Sanderson. I just watched them on Friday and thought, I don't know why you didn't work out. You're absolutely fantastic.
They're very much like us last season.
Wonder why
New
that is.
managers, different styles. I don't think that it's you what you were just saying earlier about players and being critical of players. The reality is, when you change managerial styles like that, every few months, they're not going to buy into it. You wouldn't. So I think they're going through something similar to what we went through. Different circumstances in that they brought it on themselves, but it's yeah, they'll be doing well to stay up. I mean, they probably will stay up, but touch and go.
You gonna come in there, Al?
Yeah, just said, but Bakuna's goal, it was probably his third attempt, of him coming in at the edge of the box and having a shot on goal and thinking we didn't pick it up. All right, he got the one. He could easily have scored three. And which would have been unfair. It wasn't a fair reflection of the game at all. But we weren't picking him up. We didn't learn our lesson, and that was a concern for me, because he came in edge of the box, bang, three times I reckon it must have been. And got in on the third, and thinking, well, somebody should be picking him up. Either the midfield is tracking him back or the defender's coming out, whichever way it is. I said, I'm no tactician. But there were chances for them to get another two goals in there.
Oh, it was a nightmare. Now tell me, Al, how many miles do you reckon you clock up watching Rangers a season?
Oh, good grief. I hate to think. I try to do by train nowadays, so and that's a horrific amount from Cardiff to London, because I always leave at last minute. I'm thinking, am I going to go up there? What else is going on in my life? So a return from Cardiff to London is 90 quid. So it's but don't tell my wife. It's so yeah, I don't get up as often as I used to. You know, I used to have a season ticket, but it's I enjoy it more now. I do enjoy coming at the moment, particularly, you know, these last couple of months. I mean, it's been fun to watch. You know, going up to Stoke or whatever last season, despite winning, it wasn't fun. You know, West Brom wasn't fun despite winning. It's whereas at the moment it's enjoyable to watch. You know, say Good Friday, I came up on my own, met a couple of lads up there, and but I was looking forward to it, and
Yeah.
for a long time it's not been fun to watch. But yeah, it's you know, it's just what we do. You know, I've been doing it since I was 14. My first game was. I'm 52 now, so it's a huge part of my life, and it's the one. Well, it's not the one constant, but it's a constant part of your life, and I enjoy doing it. I say Swansea, Birmingham Friday, Swansea Monday. I'm going down to Plymouth next week, so it's and those are all 3 nights, you know.
What's the relationship with QPR? How did it start, if you don't mind me asking? Because everyone always asks me that because I'm from flipping Belfast, as you know.
Yeah, well, the usual answer is, well, because they're the finest football team the world has ever seen. Then it's just like, well, I had a little boy, I had a blue and white t-shirt, brother told me to keep your hat up, and that was that. And I reckon that was 76 when I'd have been four. So it's, once you've got your team, you keep on watching the results. And then as a 14th birthday present, my brother took me up to the Milk Cup semi-final first leg.
And that's where the journey ended.
Well, I
The second leg, obviously.
both brothers took me to another game later on in that season, but I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, but best. No game, no game, no.
And then
It ended at Anfield. That was lovely.
since then I've been up, you know, I was just been coming up on my own. And then say over the years you meet people. It's so it's Mark from Merthyr, who's no longer with us, unfortunately. And a couple of students come down and you meet them. They make contact. And it's then, you know, met Alan when I was wearing a Wales tracksuit at the Arsenal FA Cup match. And then it just snowballed. And then social media, it's easier for people to find you. So it's, yeah, so it's a good little mob of us down, you know. It's and there's usually somebody who's coming along. It's, I say, and it makes it so much easier when there's more of you. Say, the old drives on my own to get places was bloody hard work. But then saying that, you know, we used to drive to Norwich in my old Nissan Sunny with somebody sat in the boot, because it was more comfortable in the boot than in the bloody bucket seats. It was, you imagine doing Cardiff to Norwich in the boot of a car. But yeah, it's what we've always done.
Well, I think the only people that can relate to that is gangsters.
Well, yeah, we're not quite that bad.
That's mad, and this that God, I was thinking about Datsuns the other day. I don't know why, but yeah. Oh yeah, the bands that band the Datsuns were playing, it reminded me of Datsun cars. I don't know, weird link. Now Saturday we've got Sheffield Wednesday. Now, if there's ever a banana skin to kill our joyous time of being happy, Steve, is Sheffield Wednesday that potential banana skin, or will we carry on and claw our way into safety?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I think we're nearly there, aren't we, in terms of survival? I mean, arguably, we're probably already there. But obviously, a game against Sheffield Wednesday, a team who could still catch us, we don't want to be losing that one. It's really interesting what we've been talking about, especially with just talking about the Birmingham game earlier. I don't think in either game you could say we played that well, in all honesty. They were great wins, but there were certainly elements of the play which weren't 100%, definitely. So you know, the fact that we've won two games, won the last two games, you wouldn't be surprised for us to not make that three in a row, because of the law of averages. But you know what? In all honesty, I'd be comfortable with a draw. I know that sounds pretty low expectation, given that we've just won two games, but I honestly like this. And please, you know what corner of Twitter to find me on if this goes wrong. But I really think we're almost there with one foot in the championship next season. So we're drawing at Sheffield Wednesday. Doesn't move them up the dial very much, and I'd be fairly comfortable with that. I don't think we should put kind of loads of pressure on this one. I think the players have done really, really well over the last sort of week or so, and let's just keep the momentum going. Let's avoid defeat. I'm really looking forward to Plymouth on Tuesday. Managing to get down there if my tickets actually arrive through the door in the next couple of days, be nice. I think that's one where actually I really fancy us to actually give them a going over. I think they're in a really bad place at the moment. So yeah, Sheffield Wednesday coming up. Don't lose. Keep the unbeaten run going, and yeah, look forward to Plymouth on Tuesday.
George.
I don't see why we'd have anything to fear, like especially Sheffield Wednesday. I
God,
think.
he's young. He's young.
Yeah.
Carry on.
No, but I'm just, as I said, Maddie, I've had too much of the year being pessimistic, too much of the season being a pessimist. I might as well be optimistic. And I
No, you're
think
welcome.
we got nothing to fear. I've said the whole year that 50 points in any championship season will keep you up, and we're on 46. That's 4 points in six games. And even then, I think 48, 49, you'll be fine. And you look at it with Sheffield Wednesday, I completely agree with Steve. It's one you don't want to lose. At the moment, we're 7 points like off them. And you shouldn't be like, I don't know, it's a hard one to describe. Because if we lose, then it's 4 points. But if we win, it's 10 points and we're practically safe. I think if we win on Saturday, I think that's safety confirmed. And I agree with Steve. I can't wait for Plymouth. I think selling out 1,700 on a Tuesday night in
Mad,
Plymouth,
mad.
incredible. And it's what support we've had at the moment, absolutely incredible, especially at home, selling out every single week, the lowest score as well. Birmingham fans complaining about get over it, unlucky. But I think it's a case of Sheffield Wednesday at home. You got nothing to fear. They're gonna come out the traps, I think, especially because they're still fighting for it, aren't they? I think if they lose this one, it puts them in a bad spot. And they went for no credit, like lost on their manager Danny Rowell. He's done brilliant this season, but I think are they just running out of steam a little bit at the wrong time? And I said this: all these teams, they were peaking form about six, seven games ago, but when push comes to shove, are they going to be able to win the like meaningful games? And we said that about QPR for ages. We thought, oh, we'll always do well against these top teams like Ipswich and Southampton, which I think our best football has been played against this year. But then we're worried about losing to the likes of Swansea, Birmingham, the teams around us. But it seems like we have actually been winning them games. And I think for me, that is one of the most positive things, the fact that we're picking up results when we're not playing as well. And they're crucial results as well. So I think for the third time, got nothing to fear against Sheffield Wednesday. Very much looking forward to Plymouth and fully optimistic.
And just can I add about the Sheffield Wednesday thing? If they win, if they beat us, if we lose, okay, that's all good for us, obviously. But it's actually much worse for the teams just above them. Because, looking at it, Huddersfield are playing Millwall. So, either they draw or someone loses. Blackburn are playing Southampton, Birmingham are playing Leicester, Stoke are playing West Brom. Yeah, it's hard to see a scenario there where we really lose huge amounts of ground by even losing that game. And yeah, of course that'll put pressure on Plymouth and Preston. But yeah, I really don't think we should, like George said, I really just don't think we should fear this game. But also I don't think we should overreact if we do lose or don't win. So yeah.
The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. I never said that. Someone much more famous than me said it, much better than me said it. I can tell you. I think, yeah, it's I think it's sealed for Birmingham and Huddersfield, to be honest with you. I think they're going to join Rotherham, and that's probably going to be the three that go down. I looked at the run-ins, and it serves Birmingham right, actually, because of what they did to Eustace and so on, just playing Billy Big Bollocks and. Yeah, it's always nice to see, you know, bring in Wayne Rooney, do this, do that, do the other, just, you know, isolate the loyal fans and stuff like that. There are sometimes, you know, even though the fans can be a bit arsey at times. So, yeah, it couldn't happen to for better reasons. Because let's face it, the only team that's ever tried to buy things and feel dismally is us. Why shouldn't someone else do it for a change? It takes the pressure off us for a little while. So there you go. So I'm going to go into ours end. I'm going to do mine first very quickly, and it's basically I'm dedicating this podcast to memory of Peter Kingham, who was there at the birth of the LSA. Without people like Peter Kingham, QPR would not exist as it does now. It would not be here. It would not be called Queen's Park Rangers. And people owe a great debt to people like Peter, who sadly passed on Monday. And, you know, those lads who went down to Fulham and that in the back of lorries to save our club, and we can never pay them back. So rest in peace, Peter, and say hello to Daphne for us. George.
Well, my odds then is, I touched on it a little bit, so I'll only do a small bit, but the Tiger Feet on Saturday, great call.
Yes.
Get your donations in. Can't wait to walk. I'm sure, Paul, you'll get me on some stuff that I need to do. But
we are interviewing people, George. We are. We're going to be interviewing. We probably will be interviewing Jude DeCatler.
Well, we won't talk about that. But my other...
Oh, we should do. Bring back Jude. I don't know what he's done, or she, or whoever it is. It's a bit weird, though. I mean, did they get carried away in the catlet and have a heavy night? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a bit weird. Carry on.
But yeah, but my major odds end is, did the EFL actually have an agenda against us? Because I've looked at two recent nominations for awards, okay? I saw EFL posted the top five goals in East over the two Easter games. Jimmy Dunn was not involved in the five goals. I could not believe it. I've seen it and I'm like, how on earth is that not made it? And the second thing is, listen, I'm not saying Marty should have been nominated for this award or anything, but I think he should be. But the fact that Liam Rossignol, with the squad that he's inherited and the squad that he's got, the fact that he's got nominated and the fact that he's on the brink of getting the sack, I think, from Hull because of the money they spent in January. Look at the quality. Fabio Carvalho, what a player. He was on loan at RB Leipzig for a big period of time and played for Liverpool. And the fact that he's got a nomination over someone like Marty has completely changed not just the performances on the pitch around, but the morale of the fans around, I think is incredible. So usually my R's ends are quite positive, but that's my thing about the EFL there.
What do you think about Jude DeCatt?
Entertainer, I think. I find it, I laugh at him a couple of times when he's dancing around at halftime, but
disco moves.
Yeah, but apart from that, I don't really pay much attention to him. I used to always get a photo of him when I was younger. Always like used to go down to the front, watch the players warm up. Used to take me onto the pitch and everything. Probably be bought away by a steward if I did that now. But yeah. I used to go onto the pitch and everything. So yeah, I like Jude DeCatt. I like Jude DeCatt. I don't see why he should be gone.
Well, I would say if, and this is only a personal opinion, I know nothing about what happened. It seems harsh, but hopefully they get rid of that crappy disco music. It drives me mental. If we're going to bring Jude DeCatt back, can we just have some 80s or 90s indie music, just old arts like me? This disco happiness, it's people shouldn't come to football to be entertained, to be happy and dance. No, no, leave that to the Americans. We like football. We don't play some, I don't know, Joy Division. There you go. Wee bit of Joy Division, wee bit of Smiths, wee bit of early REM. There you go. Problem solved. And when it rains, play Garbage. There you go. Which makes a change from us at the start of the season. Hey ho, bad link. Alan.
Just my answer. I think it's just because hopefully we'll have many more opportunities to celebrate this season. And when we do, stay the right side of the barrier.
Ooh. Mind the gap.
Absolutely.
It's a bit early, isn't it? It's a bit early. I don't think Mark would appreciate that, Mark. Sorry, Mark. He started it.
And he's your mate.
Steve?
So I saw this afternoon Mike Keegan, I think he's a Daily Mail journalist, was breaking the news that the Premier League are considering ditching, essentially ditching the PSR, the profit sustainability rules, FFP essentially.
What a surprise.
And creating a luxury tax, which is the kind of thing they have in the NBA, which essentially is you get a massive fine for breaking the rules, and the fine is put into a pot, which then gets distributed to everybody else who didn't break the rules, that kind of thing. And it's really because there's a reckoning coming over the next kind of couple of seasons with this, because more and more clubs, it's clear that more and more clubs are going to face sanction. The Premier League has been, the relegation kind of battle in the Premier League has really been affected by Everton and Forest. No one really knows what the status is of those points deductions and all the rest of it. And you've seen what's happening with Leicester, and it, basically that it just, you get the sense that there's going to be quite a few points deductions handed out over the next couple of years, which is going to ruin the integrity of the league. And surprise, surprise. And then we've still got this Man City sort of case hanging over everybody. No one really knows how that's going to pan out, although I think everyone suspects they're not going to face a sanction. Who knows? I think it's really quite depressing, a lot of this stuff, because it's really about players being... They're desperate, these clubs, to maintain the player salaries at all costs. You're seeing ticket prices in the Premier League going to just astronomical levels to balance the PSR with player salaries. And yeah, like I say, there's clearly a reckoning coming with all of this stuff. We've spent as a club so many years talking about FFP and staying on the right side of the line, and it's affected us massively. It's affected us this season massively. We could easily have been relegated this season because, yes, poor management, whatever, but really because of the finances and our inability to get players in. It's a very long-winded way of saying that I just think it's really depressing the way this is going, because if they do water those rules down, you're going to see clubs go under. I'm telling you, there'll be clubs who just spend to oblivion, because unlike in the NBA, there are massive, massive incentives for overspending in football, which don't exist in the NBA because it's a fixed league. And I really hope that going down the line, we don't, if these rules do change, if they're watered down, just at the time we're starting to get our house in order with Cifuentes and with Christian Nouri, and we're putting the club on a stable footing, I really hope we're not thrown incentives by the rule makers to go and spend to oblivion. I it's something that just leapt out at me this afternoon when I was reading it, and it's definitely a space to watch. I recommend everyone follow Kieran Maguire. He talks very, very well on this kind of stuff. And the Swiss Ramble blog on Twitter as well. Well worth a follow. Yeah, watch this space with all of that, because this sport is getting turbocharged and not in the right direction.
It's really annoying, because we did an interview. Well, I did an interview last week, sorry, Steve, with Mark Warburton. You know, I disagreed immensely with his comments about Chelsea, and obviously the dog agrees, which is always good to know. And he because I think they've killed it. I think the Premier League are slowly but surely strangling the EFL to death. If you think of the fan that we got, you think, although I hit them with a passion, Luton got treated, Bury, all these clubs that have been docked points, kicked into oblivion, kicked into the Conference League, then let to die and have done nothing. And because City and a few of the big boys are in trouble because of greed, they're changing the rules again. And it's always against clubs of our size and our magnitude. It's no coincidence that three clubs are going to go up again, the three clubs are going to go down again. I mean, that's how they want it. You know, they don't want the likes of us ruining the party. And you know what? They're welcome to it. I think the Premier League is just as... Even when I was in it, I hated it. Do you know what I mean? People didn't believe you. You know, when you support a club like ours and you say, do you know what? Didn't enjoy it. Prefer the Championship. They go, yeah, you would say that. Sour grapes. Is it? Fuck. Didn't like it. Don't like the greed. Don't like the half and half scarves. Don't like anything to do with it. But sadly, you're right. I mean, someone said it years ago that, you know, it's going to be part-time outside the Premier League, and that's what they're striving for. They're just so fucking greedy, these people. How much money do they need?
Yeah, and also somebody made a point. I think one of the other journalists from The Athletic made the point in response to this, which is the Premier League already I can't remember what the figure is now off the top of my head, but it was some astronomical gap between the Premier League and the next highest spending league in Europe in terms of wages. And it's I just don't know where the governance is, in all honesty. I don't know where the FA are. You know, the FA have a golden share in the Premier League, which they never seem to kind of use. Where's the FA? Where's... I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about regulators. You know, we could talk about this all night, but it's we're hitting a bit of a reckoning. And I think actually fans are starting to push back, even of the biggest clubs, because the ticket prices, like Tottenham, there's loads of stuff going on at Tottenham about senior citizens can't and now have to pay the same as somebody else. I mean, this is outrageous stuff, really. And it's it really does require a concerted pushback from a lot of people. The media, or fans, obviously, the media. Yeah, we'll see. Watch this space. It'll be interesting.
But it says, it clearly says on Sky for the fans, and I've never known Sky to do anything that's affected the fans at all. There's nothing wrong with, I don't know, Plymouth playing Carlisle at 11:30 on a Saturday morning. It's absolutely fine if that's how they want to do it. It's a joke, isn't it? I mean, let's just hope football comes back to the fans. I mean, the only good thing is that we're a club that I just hope we never lose at. I mean, I did feel when we were spending money in the Joey Bartons of this world and everything else, we were losing our soul a wee bit, but we just managed to claw it back and keep the club real, because the club should always be true to its roots. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother. But, you know, it's funny, I looked on Saturday, what do I keep saying? This week's really made me lose days. On Friday, the reaction of everyone coming to the ground, people I've known for years, genuine smiles of happiness. I live in Barnet. I see Arsenal and Spurs fans after they win games. Yeah, they're happy. But they're not beaming like the way we are. They're not hugging strangers. They're going up to them. We fucking did it, you know, at last. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean as much to them. I just think Spurs expect to beat Luton. Spurs expect to beat so-and-so. They'll have the odd dodgy result. Liverpool will always beat whoever. They maybe have a dodgy result. You know, Arsenal played Luton last night and gave up a half-time. You know, that, and who wants to watch that? You know, it's, but also I'm more annoyed at the fucking fine that we got and the way we were treated. You know, it's all right, we broke the rules, we got done. But my God, no one else did properly the way we did. They got points deductions after that. Now, if we had had a points deduction, that probably would have helped us, in fairness. I think the fines strangled us with FFP over the years, and we haven't recovered from that at all. We're still in free fall from that.
And that's the thing. If we see those rules then just watered down or got rid of in a couple of years, what's the point? I mean, what's the point? That said, Paul, I will say, I still think you could be in the Premier League and maintain your identity and stuff like that. Palace to some extent, you know, well, maybe not, well, Brentford, Fulham, you know, let's not dwell on that. But, you know, Brighton, you can do it. I think the trouble with the Premier League is it's just dominated by the big ones who don't really care for it anyway, because they tried to leave it a couple of years ago.
They're going to strangle it till they want it. By the way, I don't know if anyone's seen the picture of the Brentford fans last night dressed up as a beekeeper.
I did see it.
I have no words. I mean, you're young and stupid, George. Would you do that?
No,
that's stupid.
It's just comical, isn't it? It's comical.
But why?
Don't know, honestly. You just don't know. These tourists just watching the Premier League, honestly, who knows?
But beekeepers.
Yeah, so.
Especially these new bees are coming up in China. They're mental. I mean, they're like. They're like the chubbiest bees I've ever seen in my freaking life. They're mental little bastards. I don't know. But anyway, score predict. But thank you for that, Steve, by the way. I know that it wasn't QPR Pacific, but it wasn't away because we've been shat on and everyone's going to get away with it because the big boys have been naughty and they've been caught and they're marking their own freaking homework. It's annoying, but it'll never change. It's like the youth team thing where you can spend £3 million and they get your best player for 100 grand. What's the incentive to have for local kids? So once teams like QPR, Brentford, whoever get rid of the youth team, local kids suffer, communities suffer. It's deeper than just a youth team. Winds me up, and there's nothing we can do about it because they'll never change it our way. Al, that was a brilliant debut. I like that.
Thank you very much. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You'll have to come on more often, you know. And I'm what a supporter as well. Like, I'm not without being patronising, because that sounds like Sky, isn't it? Well, that's the other thing about Sky in the Premier League. Did you know QPR had a plastic pitch? Did you know this? Did you know that? They always tell you the most, and you're standing there and you go, I freaking know this, you gobshites. Tell us something different. Anyway, but good debut. George, I'm so pleased. Give our love to Mark, by the way, and wish him all the best. And tell him, you know, we'll be with him in this journey as well. Hopefully we'll sort it out. He's not alone. Let him know that.
Yeah, will do. He's a
good man.
He's in good spirits at the moment, and just fingers crossed it turns out well for him.
That'd be a nonsense if it doesn't. Come on, let's face it. George, what are you plan for the rest of the week? Are you near sheep or anything?
No, but plans for the rest of the week, well, preparing to walk 10 miles on Saturday.
I'll be seeing you there. You got me for company, mate. You'll be fine. You'll be grand.
Can't wait.
Tell your dad to take the earplugs out this time. It helps. Thank you for joining us, George. Appreciate it, Steve. As always, we'll have that drink one day, Steve. We keep promising to have a drink, and someone always pops up.
Well, I'm down in Plymouth, so maybe we'll find a better time.
I'm not at Plymouth, though. It's the one I'm not going to. I've got to go to a conference. Believe it or not, this idiot's going to a conference, and it had to be the same week as Plymouth, and I can't get out of it.
No worries. Well, I'm there on Saturday. I'm at Loftus Road on Saturday, so maybe we'll bump into each other. But
we will. Yeah. But listen, quite a positive podcast. It makes a change.
Yeah, it does.
Tell you what, this winning lock's fucking good, isn't it? Hey, it's not bad.
Full steam ahead to the Premier League, April. That's the next stop.
Oh God, he's got carried away. Premier. Why stop there? I always thought the European League was a great idea. Did I ever mention that?
Yeah, well, why stop there? We're just a few couple of years away from the Conference League. Anyway, let's the UEFA Conference League, not the
the one ambition I've always had, which I've never seen as I've never seen this happen, is Rangers playing in Europe. That's the one thing I want to see. So I don't care how we get there. I want to see us in Europe.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to win. We're going to win the FA Cup. I can't even say it with a straight face. Yeah. You're probably safe there. How old are your children?
So Rangers in Europe is the one thing.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, we have done it. I mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Well, guys, thank you ever so much. I'll see you all Saturday. I will now do this thing where I try and find the button to stop the podcast, which George always finds hilarious. And thank you for listening, and do come back next week.